Lights, camera, content. Welcome to the Month of Movies special edition.
Yeah.
This is the first time you've done one of these other than the yearly end things.
Yeah, except the year-end ones.
Like we mentioned in the monthly episode, the August episode of Month of Movies, we're going to talk about the Dark Tower movie because Jason and I have both gone through the books. And we're all both excited for this. I'm a huge Stephen King fan. And
The trailers for this movie as they're coming out looked cool, but I also got nervous.
Yeah.
And I guess my nervousness was for a reason.
We
wanted to talk about the movie, and for people who haven't read the books, we might spoil a bit of them.
Yeah, we're going to explain some backstory and like sort of do a comparison thing of the movies to the books.
Right. Because if you haven't read the books or seen the movie, you're probably like, wow, a lot of people are hating on this movie. It doesn't look that bad. But the people that are hating on it are ones that are read through 7 to 8 books.
Yeah.
And these aren't small books. These are like, some are over 1,000 pages.
Well, I think the last one was like 900 and some.
Yeah.
The sixth one is about 500 and some, 700 and some for the
Wolves of Kala is really long.
Yeah, that one's like, I want to say that's like 750-ish.
But I mean, I don't read that many novels, so that was multiple years for me. So you put a lot of time and effort into these books, and then they say, hey, we're going to turn this into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God, I can't wait. I want to see what they're going to do, because I figured with the movie, we'll actually get to see the visuals of what we've been seeing in our mind.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just see the little Easter eggs scattered that, I mean, in the books, he puts so many Easter eggs to the other books that it'll be nice to see the visuals of Easter eggs without physically mentioning it. One example is in the movie on the wall, it says "All Hail the Crimson King" in graffiti, which is a nod to the books, obviously, but it's not something that would necessarily put in the books, because graffiti's everywhere and whatever. And if you're not looking for it, you're not going to point that out.
Yeah. One of the things that also, like, when they're first mentioning the cast was happening, I was nervous because some of the characters, they were saying, hey, this person is this lady from Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
She is the model person. She's a model and stuff. I don't remember her name. I could obviously open IMDb, but you know, whatever. But she was
one
playing
of the sisters.
But she was playing a character. I'm like, that character doesn't show up till the sixth book. She plays like this vampire type character. I'm like, she doesn't show up till like the Dixie Pig type, which they had that restaurant in it. I'm like, oh, whoa, they're doing the Dixie Pig thing. That's sixth and seventh book. That's a lot of ground to cover, because the first book is only like 250 pages, I'd say, somewhere around there.
A normal sized book.
And of course, but I know a lot of people don't like that book because it's very
not
different.
A lot happens.
Yeah, it's not a lot happens, but it's very different. It's very dry, pun, because it's in a desert. But I guess maybe describing the series would make a little sense right here first.
So the gunslinger, so the world of the Dark Tower, I guess you could start there, mid-world, is basically the future after the world has moved on. So
that's
some,
the phrase they use a lot,
the world
has moved on.
Yeah, they keep saying the world has moved on. So it's where they go, something happened. But you go far enough into the future, they mentioned Ka's a Wheel, so that kind of comes in. So what we see now outside in real world, imagine overgrown, like, deserts, shanty towns. All this shit that we have is in rubble, rusted, like, computers don't really work anymore.
Like, technology has fallen apart.
Yeah, because as they're going through the desert, I mean, they see basically what... the oil, I can't even think what they're called.
the not spigots, like the things that stick in the ground and
yeah. When I say oilers, you know, the little logo, they're just in the background, not working. Like
oil pumps, is that the word?
Maybe like they show like propane tanks and stuff that are rusted and covered with branches and like so it's moved on. Basically to an old westy type feel, because the first book's called The Gunslinger, and he's basically a cowboy going through the towns, going through the desert, and he's chasing Walter, the man in black, and that's basically the first book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's him running, you know, going through the desert, mentioning what his purpose is, what he's trying to do, and
even then his goal is to reach the Dark Tower. He's not even sure if it's real or not.
Mm-hmm.
But he runs into Jake, who's a main character in the movie. He runs into him along the way. And Jake is telling, like, he gets hypnotized by Roland in the book. And he starts describing this world that Roland doesn't understand because it's basically our world.
Right.
But
they call it Keystone World.
Yeah, Keystone Earth in the Keystone, movies. Yeah. And I don't think they called it that in the book, did they?
They called it the Keystone World.
Did they?
Yeah, okay. Because the Keystone is basically... Well, they call it the Keystone World, which is present day. But in the books, it was like 99 for the most part.
What?
1999.
Well, that was
toward the end of the book.
Yeah, like, right. Like but, Jake showed up in, I think, the 70s.
Yeah. But basically, the Dark Tower to... mention what that is. The Dark Tower is the center of the universe and everything. It holds everything together, blocking out the evil. And it's, I mean, it's the center of everything. And there's an evil force that's trying to take the tower down. There's beams that are holding the tower up.
I guess it does say Keystone Earth World.
Keystone World.
Earth/World. The book I'm looking at right now, it's the Stephen King's Dark Tower, The Complete Concordance by Robin Firth. She's kind of like the fact checker of a lot of Dark Tower stories, but yeah.
Continue. So the beams are holding up the tower, and the evil essence is trying to break the beams and let the tower crumble, ending everything pretty much.
Because in biblical times, you know, like before the world was created, everything was darkness, and the villains in this books, they're like, hey, once the world falls apart, the darkness consumes again. Mm-hmm. We're free to do whatever we want.
Right. So Roland is trying to get to the Dark Tower or stop it from falling. Well, he's trying to stop it from falling is the main thing.
Yeah.
And then he wants to see what's at the top.
Because curiosity.
Yeah. I mean, this thing is the center of everything. What is inside this building?
Yeah. They're like.
So along the way, he's trying to stop them from breaking the beams, the beam breakers.
Because throughout the books, people have many theories on whether the Dark... Because people in the books are like, we don't know if the Dark Tower exists. We don't know if it's physical, if it's metaphysical. We don't know if it's like just an idea. It's a
different layer of reality.
Yeah, people think it's like actually... a fourth dimension. It's actually a god. Like, oops. I think Gon is what they call them.
Oh, yeah, Gon is the one that created the world.
Yeah, they're they think
they think he might be sitting at the top of this tower.
Or he might be the tower itself.
Right.
Like, all sorts of things, so...
I mean, it's a mythology. Most people don't even believe it's real, but Roland believes it's real, and he's going to make it there.
Yeah, and I think, I want to say maybe around, like, book 5 is when they finally actually get to the point where they go, oh, the tower is crumbling. People are... breaking the beams. Mm-hmm. They're gonna try to make, because I think it's the first mention of like that where they go, oh, because before,
well, they mentioned beam quakes before, and like that was one of the beams breaking, but I don't remember what book it was. It was early on.
Was it?
But it wasn't until later that you realize that the Crimson King is the ultimate evil in this. Is hiring people to break the beam for him.
Yes.
And basically sends Walter to try to stop the gunslinger.
Yep.
And in the movie, Roland, who's the gunslinger, his whole purpose is to kill the man in black. He has no... He mentions the Dark Tower because Walter's trying to break the beams, but the Dark Tower itself isn't even in the front of his mind. He's just all it is about revenge and killing the man in black who killed his dad.
Yeah, and the weird thing is too is like when Roland's growing up in the books, his dad dies, and then later on, when he's like, I'd say he's like in his mid-teens, like probably like 15, 16, somewhere around there, his mother dies by his own hands.
His dad's still alive at that point.
Oh, is he? God, I haven't read these in a long time. God, I feel like I'm the shit. Yeah,
no, his mom dies first, and his dad is all broken up
because
over it.
Because Roland shoots his mom.
Yeah, but, I mean, his dad was still in the picture, but... I'm pretty sure it was Merlin was sleeping with his mother.
Yeah. So no, like, it was Walter, I believe.
Walter, same person.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Walter and Merlin the same guy?
Nope.
Oh. Whoops. Martin. I meant Martin.
Martin, yes.
I meant Martin.
Merlin is the one with the
Martin
glass balls.
Martin is the one that was sleeping with his mother,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Martin is Walter O'Dimm or Randall Flagg.
Yeah, so the man in black dude, basically was having sex with his mom.
Yeah. And he went
not his mom, but like Roland's mom.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. That's not in the movie.
But anyways, he's really young when his father dies.
We're just talking about the books.
Yeah, but in the books, his father dies when he's really young, like still adolescent.
Right, in this movie, they're like it's like it was almost as if it was yesterday.
Yeah, like because it's Roland now, and he's like, oh, we got to do this, and then it's like, and
his dad was a pussy in the book. He was just like. He knew his wife was cheating on him, but didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have the guts to stand up to anybody. And in the movie, they made him seem like a badass, but then ends up getting killed.
He was in it for all of 2 seconds.
It was not necessary for the movie.
Yeah.
Except to say, hey, this is why Roland wants to kill the man in black, because he killed his dad.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Isn't the, I don't know, taking down the Dark Tower enough of a reason to try to stop him?
Yeah. And in the, okay, so the entire, like the book, the first book starts with the poem about Roland reaching the child Roland reaching the Dark Tower and stuff. So it's like, it's been ingrained, the whole thing is the Dark Tower series. This movie's the Dark Tower, and when he first, like, when Roland first mentions it, he's just kind of, it feels like he's like, oh yeah, that thing. Like, it doesn't seem like he gives a shit.
Yeah, the movie, he doesn't care about the Dark Tower at all.
He knows about it, but he's not really actively trying to stop it. Because even in, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but not ruin anything yet. But even, like, near the end of the movie, he's not even trying to stop the Dark Tower from falling. He's trying to save his friend.
Right.
And stop the evil.
Well, he just wants to stop the man in black.
Yeah, but, like...
The Dark Tower is, just happens to be... part of this.
Yeah. But one thing about the world in the books is the world's moved on, but also for some strange reason, like, it's almost as if the world is sort of expanding. So years ago, if you walked a mile, nowadays it might be like 2 miles or, you know, something like that, like where like it takes them longer to get across large distances. A lot of technology doesn't work anymore. Meeting people out in the wild is rare. So one thing that really upset me in the movie was, okay, also, yeah, a lot of the books, the book series spans 7 books, and then they added an 8th book after it was done, but it lands in the middle. It's a destination.
Story.
Yeah, it's a destination, much like Lord of the Rings, like, hey, we gotta get from point A to point B. They don't just go, let's take a car and drive there, because, well, cars don't exist. But, like, you know, a lot of it is all the shit that happens along the way, the journey. A lot of characters they meet, a lot of bonds they make, a lot of, like, just lore you learn about. In this movie, portals exist. And everybody knows about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technology that works, that people know how to use. I mean, in the book, they could barely get a fucking water pump to work. You know? It's like everything is fucking broken down. But then, in the movie, this town... the kids and adults, they're like, oh yeah, we have a portal here. We don't want to use it because they don't want the bad people to know where it is. So it automatically takes this long journey going, hey, Jake, I just met you yesterday, but now here we are fucking stopping the Dark Tower from falling within a day of meeting each other. It's like, it takes away any sort of like epicness of like bonding and friendship and all this other stuff that like... It felt like in the books where a character is in trouble, you're trying to save him because, holy shit, we spent so much time with this character. We don't want this person in trouble. We don't want them to die. it felt like a chore when watching Roland try to save Jake. He's like, I guess I'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. It. The feel was all off. And you're talking, too, about Man in Black, right? Mm-hmm. Walter O'Dim.
Mm-hmm.
About Anthony McConaughey's performance.
Okay. So, this... I mean, obviously we're talking about this as if you guys read the books or don't care if we spoil the books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go right and say the end of the book series that Roland walks up the tower, makes it to the top,
yep.
opens the door, and walks through, and now he's living it again.
Yep.
So basically it's like reading the whole series again. So this... And the Man in Black dies in the series.
Yeah.
But Roland doesn't kill him.
Yeah, he gets eaten by a spider baby that is half Roland, half evil god.
Yeah.
Demon so, thing.
So you have to imagine that this has happened multiple times. That he's gone through the tower multiple times. And that's why he keeps thinking he should do it because he's done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Walter... has died multiple times over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically getting sick of it. So in the movie version, we see the Man in Black going, we just got to fucking end this. We have to stop the gunslinger. We have to stop the tower. And he's just had enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he plays the character that I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm a sorcerer. And he just... Like, you can tell there's anger behind a bunch of the stuff. Like, not anger, but, like, impatience.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie moves way too fucking fast.
Yes.
And part of it is because of those fucking portals. In the book...
fucking portals.
In the book, there were doorways, but it took a long time to get them to fucking work. Yeah. If at all.
Yeah.
And
also, if they had a doorway, it went to one spot.
Right. You couldn't say, I want to go to this place from this place. They punch which they can number. In the movie.
Yeah, they punch a number and go, oh, this brings you to this place.
So then they go through. They're hoping they're going to the right time, is basically what it is in the books. Like, yeah. They don't know. They don't care where they're going to end up. They just want to make sure that they're going to the right time.
Yeah.
So, like, that sped it up a lot. If you can just teleport to these people to stop them, of course it's going to be fucking fast. Yeah. So I blame the portals for everything in this movie.
The fucking portals.
If they didn't do the portals, the movie wouldn't have moved as fast. They're cramming 7 books into 1.5 hours movie.
Because they literally had parts. I saw parts, like, I could name, you said, hey, what, name a part from the 3rd book or the 5th book.
Right.
I'm like, it was this, these things, and these people.
So... I understand with the addition of these portals that seem to be working perfectly in a world that has moved on.
Yeah.
You have to have the movie fast-paced, and you have to do it this fast. So that makes sense. I just wasn't a huge fan of it moving that fast.
Yeah.
I kind of understand why they made the movie this way, because I think if they made just The Gunslinger as a movie, it wouldn't have done well.
That's true.
I feel that people would say this is boring because a lot doesn't happen in it.
I feel like they could have bled, like, part of book 3 in there. Right. Like, book 1 and 3. Because they didn't... Like, if they were making this first movie with intentions of, if it does well, we'll make more.
Right. The whole reason they wanted a standalone story. And if it did well, they'll continue on, which I don't think they will at this point.
They gave it such a small budget for what it was.
Well, the budget wouldn't have been a problem if they would have done it right.
Yeah.
You didn't need all those different locations.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, the first book, they don't really even do the Keystone World.
No, they don't. They don't at all.
Oh, I feel like he falls in front of the car.
Well, I'll say that, when he's hypnotizing him.
But yeah.
That would be a scene in actual, like, New York City or whatever.
Right.
New York City.
So...
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so they basically tried to cram everything into one movie, but made it about Jake instead of the tower and the Man in Black. Like, saving Jake from the Man in Black was basically the movie.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the Dark Tower. I mean... aside from the fact they're using Jake to break a beam. But I don't know. It's just, they just shoved too much stuff into it and had it go way too fast that it numbed it. I don't know. When I first started watching it, I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, you're seeing, because it's not until like the sixth or seventh book that you actually see that town that they're doing the beam breaker thing.
Yeah.
So when they showed that, like, near the beginning of the movie, I'm like, holy shit, they're showing this?
And that's the seventh book, the last book.
Yeah. And I was just like, holy crap. But it was cool to see the creatures with the skin faces, you know.
Yeah, and the low men.
The low men and the breaker machine and the town layout and stuff. That was kind of cool to actually see. So, like, there was parts that I was excited about while I was watching it.
Yeah.
But if I never read the books and I watched it, I think the movie might have been okay.
Yeah.
I probably would have, if I haven't read the books and I watched that movie, I'd be like, yeah, I don't understand why people like the books so much.
Yeah, and they did, like, they put a lot of stuff in there that people that read the books go, oh, they're doing this part right now. But yeah, if they didn't describe, like, when Jake is going through the house, and it's mm-hmm. like, why is the wall rippling? Why, how come?
No, they mentioned why.
Yeah, they did, but then after that, like,
because it was basically the guard to the portal.
Yeah, but like, oh, he killed a home demon, a house demon, and like, that's all they really mentioned. Like, mm-hmm. what is that? Like, what? Like, because that comes in, passes so fast that like people, if I had no idea, I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah,
and stuff like that. But then at least, in the book, like, I think he had a small little bit of the skill, but in the book they call it the touch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
basically the same thing as the shine.
Yeah, the shine, and they say the shine in the movie,
right?
But remember,
because like, that's what people know is the shining.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay, they did that because I think like either Cuthbert or I think Elaine had the touch. Like one of
Elaine had it.
One of Roland's friends as a kid had the touch.
So he kept comparing Jake to
him. It wasn't as strong, but like in the movie, Jake had he was stronger than Danny Torrance for sure.
Yeah,
like it was. I don't know. So I'm like, okay, that kind of helps it work, but it felt like that whenever they go, we need to make something happen that doesn't make any sense that Roland can't do. We'll just have Jake shining make fix it.
And that's another thing that frustrated with me with the movies is that. In the books, Roland, obviously, we mentioned, he's done this multiple times. So he has more of an understanding of what's going on around him, and he's explaining everything to Jake. Where in the movie, Jake seems to know way more about this than the gunslinger.
Yeah.
So he's explaining everything to him, and I'm like, that's fucking reversed. Like, if you got pulled from your world and brought to another, why do you know so much about this new place that you've never been to? Like,
yeah,
that was irritating.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I knew that from the commercial. I was like, you're gonna like Earth. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And they made it seem like a different planet instead of just a different
like
dimension or time zone.
Yeah, like parallel universe type thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what
it should have been, more of a parallel universe than a completely different planet. But they showed Midworld with like two moons and stuff.
Yeah.
So obviously they're like, this is a different planet. You can tell because there's two moons.
Was it two suns? Oh, no, that's Star Wars.
Star Wars is two suns.
Star Wars. There was one thing I wanted to talk about too is the gunslinger's code.
Yeah.
That
was like recited pretty nice.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out.
It felt like it was in your face too much though.
Yeah, but because, if you read the books, they do it a lot too.
Yeah, for sure. But like this is, but like the first time it's kind of mentioned is before you really know, like it's because he says it with his dad. And you're like, okay, yeah, and then like he says it later, and then like I think it happens at least three times. The rule of thirds.
Mm-hmm.
but it, I don't know. It felt like, because that's what it was. It was like Roland's dad taught him, was mm-hmm. telling him, like, remember this.
And then he was teaching.
I don't shoot
Jacob.
With, you know, I don't aim with my hand. I aim, or, you know.
Whatever, I don't aim with my eye, I aim with my mind.
Killed my heart. I fuck.
It's probably right here.
It's one of those things where I can't remember it. It's just, I aim, I don't aim with my hand, I aim with my eye, I don't shoot with my gun. I shoot with my mind. I don't kill with my gun. I kill with my heart. I don't know. Whatever. Wrong word. There's the noun's wrong in there somewhere.
I don't know how to play anything.
But then he says it again when he's teaching Jake how to shoot a gun, which never comes up again. Like he's like, because in the book. In the second book, Roland ends up getting attacked by these lobstrosities, these giant, like, imagine a lobster that's the size of, like, a saber.
How do you find anything in this book?
It's marked by the characters, places, and stuff. If you look in the front,
But I'm just saying, where would you even find the oath?
I'd probably say, it'd probably be under, like, lore or, like, something like that. In the front, it has the table of contents. Yeah, it's a tough book to figure out what the hell's happening. So it's like a German Shepherd size like lobster, but they bite off, they clip off Roland's fingers, and part of his foot, so Roland can't use his right hand, and then that's why like Jake, who is in the book, in the movie, and then Eddie and Susanna show up later in like the second book. Eventually, they learn how to use guns because Roland can only use one because his middle and index finger are gone. So he can't shoot a gun. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. Because in the movie, like, Roland gets stabbed in the arm by some, like, weird Toadash creature. So he can't use his arm. So it's like, oh, this is where Jake is going to pick up the guns. Like, nope. He uses it, tries a little bit, and then and they go, all right, well, he got kidnapped. All right, goodbye. also, that's another thing, is the first sentence in the Dark Tower, in the Gunslinger, the man in black fled across the desert, and the Gunslinger followed.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome line. It jumps you right. Yeah, it's the first line of the first book and the last line of the last book, and it's such an awesome line. And they threw that in there. I'm like, I know what's gonna happen. I'm only gonna throw it in the movie somewhere, and it's not gonna fit. Sure enough, it's during like a dream sequence that you hear a voice saying it. But
Roland, it's like they're trying to figure out a way to put it in the movie and didn't know how.
But it didn't feel like Roland was enacting revenge for the man in black killing his father. But it didn't really seem like he was following him because Walter O'Dim was like just teleporting left and right. I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm here now. And it's like, and Roland was just like just wandering around. I'm like, he wasn't following him at all. Like, the first time you meet him, he was in, like, the desert, yes, but he was, like, up in the hills. And it's like, I feel like they use that line just to make people go, yeah, I read the books. That line's in there.
Yeah.
Good book. Good line.
But they didn't start the movie with it.
No. boy, what other things did I
okay, want to so. With? The movie did do a couple things that people have been wanting in the book that they didn't do.
Yes.
You finally got the showdown between Walter and Roland.
Yes.
Because people got pissed that the man in black died that way in the book and we never got to see the final battle. Well, we finally got it.
Yeah.
And so that should please some people who were pissed that they didn't get the shot in the book. So we finally got that battle scene between the two.
It feels like, though, like in the battle scene, he used a lot of magic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember him using anywhere near as much magic in all of the books combined. Because he'd, like, walk people, stop breathing. And they would just, like, they would collapse and stop breathing. Like, he would just be doing things left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike, and I was thinking about this, too, but... Mike from County City, he was talking to me about this where he saw a review because he watched the movie too. He read the books many, many years ago too. But in the final battle scene, Roland will shoot a gun at the man in black and he'll stop the bullets in midair.
Mm-hmm.
So to trick him, he shot a bullet straight at man in black.
Yeah.
Then he turned
and shot
a bullet.
For ricochet.
It ricocheted off a pillar and hit the other bullet. Now, the physics don't work.
Because the second bullet shouldn't have met the first one.
Yeah, because the first one was going straight. Like
He shot it slower. He shot it slower.
Yeah, he somehow pulled back when he shot it. Because it went straight, you know, like, what is it?
Unless he had two guns and he shot them both at the same time.
But he didn't. He shot, turned, shot again. And
the second shot should have been one he aimed straight ahead. Then it might have worked.
Yeah, then maybe. But it was like one of those things where you go, yeah, you're a gunslinger, but man, that shouldn't have happened. But I mean, like, the gunslinging part was cool, but it felt too action movie, though.
I thought it was kind of cool because, okay, so he is a gunslinger.
Yeah.
In the most part, it's like, okay, he knows how to shoot a gun.
Yeah.
He's really good at it. He's really good at shooting a gun. But it's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
So it's like, we have to show you that this isn't just a guy who can shoot really good. So they showed, like, his reloading and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, really cool.
But the fact, like, but there's parts where he's, like, diving off things and shooting in midair and this. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know so much. Because, like, in the books,
he did do some diving and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But, like,
especially at the end.
I'm thinking, though, of, like, I think in the third book, when they showed up to that one town and he did a little dance thing.
Mm-hmm.
But remember how, like, he was talking about how, like, arthritis was kicking in already so far because he'd been training all his life, constantly using his hands and stuff. But it's like, so, like, even though he was, like, probably in his, like, probably about his 30s or 40s, his arthritis was, like, kicking, like, at times in the book, like, he was walking and he was walking with a limp because his arthritis was so bad. And I know it's a different character. They don't have to add that much detail in it. But I'm like, knowing that fact, I don't see him jumping over a wall and landing, like, a floor below him and stuff.
Finally found it.
Like, that's like your oath?
Yeah. I do not aim with my hand. He who aims with his hand has forgotten the face of his father. I aim with my eye. I do not shoot with my hand. He who shoots with his hand has forgotten the face of his father. I shoot with my mind. I do not kill with my gun. He who kills with his gun has forgotten the face of his father. I kill with my heart. And that shows up in the third book. Wow.
Third book.
Wow.
Because I was...
I thought it was, like, in the second book. But third book makes sense, because that's when he's training Suzanne and stuff.
And Eddie and stuff, yeah. I feel like there's some other things we're talking about. But...
I mean, the only other thing I mentioned was, like, the Nazla Kola and the Dodge Dart. Like, the fake things that they had in the book.
Yeah.
I was like, it was a perfect time to, like, put the fake cola in. Especially since they didn't really show you the label, and it was a Coke can.
Yeah.
It wasn't Nazla, it was Coke. But I was like, that would have been perfect. You could have just done that as, like, a nod to the books. Yeah. You put all this random shit in there, like reference to The Shining and It and stuff. Like, you couldn't... I don't know. To me, Nazla was, like, one of the coolest references in the books. That was fake.
But which is weird because in the TV show Kingdom Hospital, they have a Nazla soda machine.
Mm-hmm.
The cans.
Mm-hmm.
But the logo is completely different.
because they didn't want to infringe on Coca-Cola.
It was more like a Surge with, like, purple and green and stuff. Yeah. Like that. It was really weird. But yeah, like I was gonna say, some of the references they made in the movie, like, it's cool to make references and stuff. And I know when I saw, like, some of the shots, like some of the little shots online, I was like, ooh, that's cool. Like, oh, that's the same kind of Chevrolet that Christine was, and that's a Saint Bernard and stuff. I'm like, oh, little Easter eggs and stuff like that. But then when it was in the movie, it felt like, hey guys, remember how I wrote this book about this dog? And, like, Jake's looking around, like, oh, there's that dog. Hey, look over here, he's playing with a car. I'm like, it felt like the Easter eggs were, like,
too forced.
Yeah, they're like colored Easter eggs. Like, hey, notice these things. Although I almost missed the Rita Hayworth poster.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pretty amazing.
And then
Stoker,
the reference to the Oi.
Yes, the Oi. Oi. In the books, there's an animal. It's kind of like a raccoon lemur type, like, dog thing.
Yeah, it's like, in my mind, it was like a lemur mixed with a raccoon.
Yeah,
mixed with a dog, and they're called Billy Bumblers, but they imitate words.
Like, kind of like parrots.
Yeah, so when you say something, it repeats it in its own broken English. And
it usually, like, forgets the first letter.
Yeah. So there was a part they had the Geico commercial where the raccoons are eating out of the garbage. And he's like, oh, your animals still talk here? And that made me mad because, one, the real world is supposed to be the past of Midworld.
Yeah.
Not the future.
Yeah. He's like, still?
Still? He could have said something other than still.
Oh, that's another thing that made me mad. Roland is, he's used to bartering because it's like an Old West type thing. So he's like, he won't just, he's not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
He might be chaotic, but he's not, like, evil. So, like, when they, at one point when they come to, Keystone Earth, and he's like, hey, I gotta get some more bullets for the gun, because we're getting ready for our big showdown. So they go, oh, come here, here's a gun shop. And then he goes inside and immediately pulls a gun on the guy, saying, give me your bullets. And I'm like, whoa, this is not something Roland would do. He wouldn't just draw a gun on a random civilian and go, give me free things.
Yeah.
And, like, that was completely out of character. It'd be like Superman going, hey, yeah, I can fight these villains. Hold on. Let me throw my... U.S. Army. Let me take your tank with the people still in it. Let me throw it at the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, whoa, Superman wouldn't just randomly threaten someone's life just to get something that they wanted. Like, it might happen on accident. Mm-hmm. Like, so there might be casualties, but he won't instinctively go, hey, you're a good person. I know you're a shop owner and a merchant, and I would barter with you, but I have no money here, so I'm going to hold you up. That irritated me a bit.
Mm-hmm. He should have tried to barter or something.
Yeah. And Jake was all fine with it. He's like, oh, well, here we go again. Yeah.
I don't know if I have anything else to say.
Oh, boy. I feel like yeah, after we hit end, I'll be like, God damn it, I should have mentioned this. Or I should have mentioned this.
I wrote a couple notes, but I said that stuff.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, I know it's probably a nod to it too, but like, if they're going to go to the effort to putting something into a movie from the books, have it do what it does. There's a thing, Merlin, like, because part of the book is the old school, like the stories of Arthur, King mm-hmm. Arthur and stuff. That's true. That's a true story in the Midworld world, in the books.
Mm-hmm.
So Merlin was
actually... Yeah, because his guns were made from the Excalibur melted down.
Yep. But, like, Merlin was a wizard, but he's evil. And he had these Merlin's rainbow. These like, crystals. They're, like, crystal balls. And each one of them, like, he had one for each different color of the rainbow, the different spectrum of the rainbow. And they all did different things. In the fourth book... Wizard in Glass, they use the pink grapefruit is what they called it. And then in Wolves of the Kala, they had the Black 13, which I remember it, she used it to open a portal, like through a door, like not really to open a portal, but like there's a door frame that, like we said earlier, people go through and they end up a different place. She used it to go to a very specific place.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, he has a black one and he goes, look at me, I'm a hologram. I'm Loki, I can just project myself to be here, here, and here. It's like, I don't think that's what that does.
Yeah.
I don't, because the pink one was used to look at... she used the pink one to look at, like... kind of spy on people to see what they are and what they're doing and their inner desires and stuff, because at one point, you know, Merlin looks into it, he gets lost in it, and it's just like he looks into his inner soul and stuff and he gets crazy. But yeah, they had apparently Walter or Man in Black had all of the grapefruit just in a counter. He's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm gonna grab this one for this, I'm gonna
Yeah, if he had them all, right, then he's done.
Yeah, and he used the blue one. It was like, I don't know what the blue one is in the book, but he just popped it in, and it was like basically a map. And then he could like go, oh, there he is. This is where Jake is. Let's go kidnap him. I don't know. It seemed like it felt like everyone had things to fix the problem so easily
mm-hmm.
that the problem shouldn't have existed in the first place. Like, oh, we have portals. Oh, this is happening. If we knew about this earlier, we would have stopped them. You know? I don't know. And, yeah, the whole world of, like, they, oh, because in the book, they had a whole village of Breakers. So like they had old people like had the psychic ability that would
a whole bunch of them doing it at once.
Yeah, and they would the whole bunch of them just slowly chiseling away day and night, night and day, chiseling away at the beams until one broke, and then they go to the next one, chisel, 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 and this one it's like, all right, well it's that time, get the kid in the thing, and it just shoot giant blasts that shoot chunks of rock out of the tower, and it's like. How have they not knocked this down yet? Because it's just breaking it immediately. But is it like recharge time that they can't do it constantly? But I don't know. I like the idea that a whole village people just slowly weakening the tower. And then they go, that's too much work. Let's just have one chair where one can sit in it. Once you break the chair, well, no problems anymore. It's like, what the fuck? I don't know. Yeah,
why did you need a whole village if you just need one?
Yeah.
Well, the reason was because he's got a stronger shine than the other.
Yeah.
Needed to add all of them together to make one.
Yeah, basically they're looking for Jake because his shine was so strong that's all they would need. He could just easily knock over the tower for how strong he was.
Mm-hmm.
It was like quality, not quantity, in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to... I might nudge it up to a 5.
Yeah, I'm still doing 5.5, like I said, in Month of Movies.
Because like you said, like, because one of the problems I have with Matthew McConaughey's character as Randall... Or, Randall
his Flagg.
He has...
The Black's got, like, a million names.
He's been... Yeah, he was in... Because
he's the same character in The Stand as Walter... Or as Randall Flagg.
Yeah, he was the walking dude in The Stand... He was, I think, Walter O'Dim in Eyes of the Dragon.
Okay. I did not read that one.
Yeah, that's like a couple. It's like his. It's like Roland's grandfather or great grandfather. Okay. It's a very like fairy tale ish Game of Thrones type story because it's about like the.
It's like his stuff when he was a kid.
Yeah, and it's like about the wizard trying to like influence the king to like. Help him and some of that, but yeah, he's like in numerous books, and his character is always like, it seems like he's like, ooh, this, like every character seems the same, like not he seems different, like, but at the same time he still has that weird like weird quirky urgency, but then in this one he's just like, all right guys, let's get this going, and like, but like you said, I suppose if it's his next pass through, he's like, I'm fucking getting tired of this,
yeah,
I guess I could see that, and so I mean. Yeah, I actually was on Amazon today, and I saw, I typed out Dark Tower just to see.
When it comes out?
No, just looking for, like, just any kind of memorabilia or whatever, see if anything fancy came out because of the movie.
Mm.
And I saw that the DVD was like, pre-order this now. I'm like, that's $22 to pre-order now for the Blu-ray. I'm like, I'll wait.
No, you can probably get it cheaper somewhere.
Yeah, like, I get it cheaper somewhere, but I'm going to pay that much for it. I know it's not a lot, but if I'm going to pay that much for it, I'm going to get, like, a Steelcase special edition or something. I'm paying $22 for that movie. Because I already paid, like, $13 to see it in Dream Theater seats and everything. But...
See, it says Black 13 corresponds with the beast that guards the Dark Tower.
Okay.
Some image pulls huge.
What is,
look into the future, others look into the past, or alternate reline. Doesn't really say specifically.
Okay. But, yeah, it felt like he could have hovered his hand over it for the people to go, oh, it's Black 13, and he could have just grabbed a different color, like a yellow or a green, and be like, we don't know what this one does. And then he could have just grabbed that and then, like, done whatever they wanted with it, you know? But, oh, and one thing I did like though, is when he walked into the, I'm probably gonna fuck up the quote because I can't think of it right now, but when he walked into that village of those people, he said long days and pleasant nights,
yeah,
and like, and he gives twice as many to you. I'm like, yes,
I know. I was actually hoping for more of those terminologies.
Yeah.
And thank you, Sai, and
yeah,
stuff like that. Like, I was expecting more. I mean, I'm glad they said pleasant days, pleasant nights.
Yeah, long days and pleasant nights, twice as many upon to you or something. But yeah, it's like a lot of sayings and like we should have a palaver and
mm-hmm. And cut it and
Yeah, like I was, yeah, more of like more of the dialogue and the wording and
the walking dude.
they did mention Todash Space, right? I believe they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when the creature busted through, it's like, oh, that's from Todash, whatever. I'm like, yeah. Anyways, we've been rambling on long enough. So if you did care to see it, and didn't care about spoilers, I hope we at least shedded some light on The Dark Tower, and you might go, I'm intrigued now. I might want to read the books or watch the movie. I'm happy for you, because at least we made you seem like...
Hopefully this makes more people want to read it than the movie. Yeah,
because, I mean, there's so much stuff that happens in the books, obviously, because it's thousands of pages of stuff. But, yeah,
like... There's a lot of nods. In the books, there's a lot of nods to a lot of stuff, not just Stephen King stuff, but, like, there's nods to Harry Potter.
The fifth book is
so Marvel stuff, and there's
Isaac Asimov, and...
Yeah. Was that Shardock?
No, that's Douglas Adams. Oh, okay. Not Douglas Adams.
No.
Richard Adams?
Douglas Adams is the Hitchhiker guy.
Yeah, I think Richard Adams, the guy who did Watership Down... No, Isaac Asimov is the guy that wrote iRobot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of references to a lot of stuff. And hopefully, I mean, even if you just saw the trailer for the movie, if you didn't see the movie, you realize it's not a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's more of an epic journey.
I think on IMDb, it was a sci-fi action adventure fantasy.
Yeah.
I believe that's like the...
Yeah.
The, let me see right here. Yeah, the genres.
But every time people see Stephen King, they think it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some creepy stuff in it, but it's more of a destination film than anything.
Oh, it's action adventure fantasy is what. Okay. Oh, now it's playing the trailer. Thank you. IMDb, your app is really pissing me off. If you're listening, IMDb.
Yeah, I don't use the app. I just use the browser.
Yeah, I should. But, yeah, that's it.
I don't know how to end this one.
Yeah, long days and pleasant nights.
Long days and pleasant, but twice as many for you.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.